Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now there's trouble busting in from out of state, and the DA can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble out on the promenade, and the gambling commission's hanging on by the skin of his teeth.
He's incredible, isn't he? That is Jeremy Allen White singing Bruce Springsteen's track Atlantic City. It's from the new biopic about the American star's life. It's called Deliver Me From Nowhere. Can't believe how well he can sing. That's extraordinary. But the film, you probably heard, it documents the boss's time during the period of the Nebraska album recording, a time when he's just on the cusp of becoming a huge star, but he's having an awful lot of personal difficulties at the time. Now, Bruce was on set every single day while the movie was being made, which can't have been overly comfortable for Jeremy, you can imagine. But we wanted to take a look today at other films that have documented the lives of music stars and ask if they always hit the mark. And who better to do that with than DJ Crossy, who is with me. Did you hear? That's incredible, isn't it?
It is incredible. I've given this movie 5 stars. It is so good.
You've seen it, obviously.
I saw it last week, all right, and I had to leave just as the as it ended. I was bawling.
Really?
It is so powerful. Like, everyone loves Bruce. Bruce is massive in Ireland. Mm-hmm. Like, Croke Parks. Huge. And RDSs. And this is just about that Nebraska album time. So he's just about to become this massive, massive star around the world. And he's fighting demons. And he doesn't know what to do. And his mom and dad are in it. And it's their scenes with him and his dad. It will break your heart. And Bruce even said, when he was on set, and there's one of these scenes near the end, Bruce said he cried because Stephen Graham reminded him so much of his father that he felt like his father was alive.
Oh, Stephen Graham from Adolescence.
From Adolescence, yeah. Plays him. And it's just, and he's a real mean guy in it. Whatever it has done, it has connected people. I brought my other half, who wouldn't really be a big Brucey fan, all weekend. Nebraska album has been on has repeat. Been on. Now, I'm happy it's the Nebraska album and not some other muck, but we've had a couple of different music. But yeah, it's so good.
Can
it's
you
one
imagine,
of those movies.
Can you imagine the pressure, though, that poor old Jeremy was under with Bruce standing there watching you while you're being Bruce and singing like Bruce?
And the mad thing is, he does look like him.
He does.
When you're watching it, you're going, oh, this guy's got it. And the voice as well.
Yeah, it's all
it's
there.
Great. It's set in cinemas now, but it's really good.
Okay, so we have to definitely see that. But we wanted to take a look back at some of how some of the other biopics stand up. And we're going to start with Freddie Mercury and the Queen biopic, Bohemian Rhapsody. Let's have a clip.
Galileo Figaro!
How was that?
Freddie?
Higher.
Can you go a bit higher?
If I go any higher, only dogs will hear me. Try.
Freddie's note, sorry.
Oh, go on, roll the tape.
Overdub 24 of Fred's
thing.
Galileo Figaro!
How was that? Better?
Higher.
Jesus, how many more Galileos do you want?
Freddie wants to do a few more overdubs.
Do we even have any tape left?
I do have to say, the tape is wearing out.
It can't take much more.
Yeah, we can't afford much more. We're already 3 weeks over schedule.
Dub 26 of Fred's thing.
One more. Again.
That's great. I must rewatch that. That did really well, didn't it?
So good. It nearly hit the billion mark worldwide. This was huge. Now, this is kind of what I like about this is that it introduced so many different people to Queen and to Freddie, you know, so mums and dads would have been listening. And now you've got younger people. I saw Queen and Adam Lambert in Marley Park. And the amount of young people at it. And they were saying it was because of this movie introduced so many more younger people to the legend that was Freddie. The one thing about this movie is that it's told about Freddie, but with the guys from Queen looking after it. So it does kind of explore parts of his life. But once it gets into the nitty gritty, it pulls it back a wee bit. That's the one thing about it. But everyone knows the Live Aid massive at the end. If you watched Live Aid live and watched this, you'd find it very hard to see the differences.
Yeah, I mean, it's always with biopics, you know, you're seeing it through someone's lens, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it all, and you always have to keep that in mind. But that was a very enjoyable film.
Oh, so good. And he won an Oscar for it. Rami won an Oscar for it, which is huge.
The next one I want to talk about is Elvis, because, you know, just like your partner and the Bruce Springsteen, I wasn't a massive Elvis fan. I liked him, I listened to him, but I came away from this and I think I read 3 books about Elvis.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I fell straight into it. But it's the whole Baz Luhrmann treatment, isn't it? It just pulls you in. We'll take a clip and we'll have a chat about it then. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Surprised that didn't gross as much, not nearly as much as the Queen Freddie Mercury movie.
So I think 2022, we were coming out of COVID.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything was getting back to normal. And I think that probably kind of damaged it in some sense of it. And as well as that, there has been a lot by 2022. There was a lot of biopics that people were kind of, were they weaning away from it going, oh, there's too many.
Mm-hmm.
It did so well. 8 Oscar nominations, including Best Picture. Everybody talked about Austin Butler and his transformation. And to this day, his voice still has it. That is terrible. But his voice still has it. And like, imagine, like, all of your career, everyone will know you for this movie and the Elvis voice.
Now, people did have a problem with Tom Hanks in this, didn't they? With his depiction of Colonel Parker.
Oh my God, yeah. Because there are still people who probably did like this guy, but he's not depicted well in this. Like, mm-hmm. he is the evil guy in this. And a lot of people afterwards, even people who didn't know much about Elvis, were kind of looking going, is it this guy's fault? Was it this guy's fault that made Elvis, you know, the end that he had? Elvis's family all loved Austin Butler in this. They all thought he was amazing. So there was a lot of press trips and press tours with them coming out saying he's amazing. And now look where he's rested as well. People are going out there now to watch because they all love Elvis because of Austin Butler.
The next one on our list then, Crossy, is it took the fantasy angle for its narrative. So Rocket Man, will we listen and come back to this? Yeah, let's have a listen.
You okay? Got the number one album in America. Again, I'm about to embark on the highest grossing tour in rock history. I'm personally responsible for 5% of all record sales on the entire planet, and I have the biggest headdress known to man. So yeah, I think I'm okay, Bernie.
Well, it used to just be the two of us. Now there's busloads of people just to do the music. Hang on. Don't you want to just go out there and sing without this ridiculous paraphernalia? You know, just... be yourself, Reg.
People don't pay to see Reginald Dwight. They pay to see Elton John.
Taron Egerton there, who I can only think of for his role in Sing. So that's throwing me off a little bit.
You'll need to be sitting down watching this one because I swear the fact that Elton John was pushing them to go more crazy and more wild to show what his life was like in the 70s and 80s. Taron was so good at this. Now, the thing about this movie is it's not like the ones we were talking about. There's it is a musical, but there's a bit of fantasy in it. You know, at one stage they're flying. Now, obviously, they're obviously alluding that other stuff was going on and that's why they were flying. You have to go with it. He won a Golden Globe for playing Elton John in it. Elton and him became best of friends afterwards, and to this day you'll see Taron on Elton's Instagram page because he really says, you were me, you played me,
it.
You
yeah.
were so good and you got it. I really enjoyed it, but it's not going on like the Elvis or the Brucey movie or anything like that. It's a bit more out there.
It's wild. Okay, so that's Rocket Man, and we're going to go back to the noughties now. This one won Reese Witherspoon an Oscar. Walk the Line.
Huge.
Go away from my at your own chosen speed. I'm not the one you want, babe. I'm not the one you need. You say you're looking for someone who's never weak but always strong to protect you and defend you, whether you are right or wrong. Someone to
again, the singing is really good, isn't it? Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon.
This movie, everyone believes, is the reason why we have all these amazing biopics from 2005 onwards. She won an Oscar
is
for this.
Is that how old that is?
This is 2005.
20 years old.
20 years old.
We're all getting old. I was just thinking I must go back and watch that. It's been a while since I've seen it. 20 years.
20 years. And just like all the other movies that we had, people got back into Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
And he was charting so much as well. And June Carter. Oh my God. Now this is one of the movies you need to watch around Christmas time.
Yeah, and have a good cry and enjoy it. Have we time to mention? Will we just mention A Complete Unknown? Will we with Timothy Chalamet?
I went to the red carpet for this in London, and I swear there must have been 1,000 girls screaming this guy's name and singing Bob Dylan's music because of this guy.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it for the rest of my life, how crazy it was to know that that would happen.
And we also realised from that statement that you get all the best gigs. Thank you very much, Crossy. Great to have you in as always.